Did you honestly think you'd get away? Welcome to Fate and Fotune. Join our fated as they traverse a perilous new world, seeking adventure, revenge, and safety, or at least something close to it. Featuring the vocal talents of
Jed as Julius Ignis, Matt playing Sapa Carlson,
and Nate as Owen Gunn.
I, Danny Dawson, will be your humble guide, your keeper of destiny, your fate master in this narrative. Whether our cast find themselves in great fate, or perhaps slip into misfortune, we do hope you enjoy today's tale. Welcome to Malifaux, Part 1. The light of the twin moons fed the evening a brilliant green, giving the illusion that the arid ground held more life than it did. The explored areas of the world known as Malifaux were still regarded as a pioneer front, with little beyond the city of the same name being in any sort of development. The plains curved down at the end of their sight, and beyond lies the cross-section in railroads towered over by Malifaux Station, gas lights flaring into illumination as a reminder of humanity's presence in the alien world. As the fated get their bearings, Sapa sinks to the soil, combating that maddening creature having plucked at the last of his strength. And Wendy, oh dear Wendy, the memories of his dearly departed that had been tampered down in his years of hardship, which had come to life, mocking him in his failures. The shadow of Monsieur Dumont now breached its internal dam. His mechanical companion, K-8, whirs against Sapper's broad back, as if it were a cat trying to calm its owner. Owain staggered, gripping Julius in a headlock and feeding him a swig of whiskey in celebration of their achievement, shouting at Thomas Stearns Elliot in his own way of showing care, when a shadow fell over the great stone relics that hummed with the innate magic that flowed in Malifaux, holding the breach in position. From behind a column stepped two long legs, neat trousers taped to the underside of a muffin-topped belly. He wore a jacket that may have been designed for him before he had gained weight, considering its tightness, steeped in a brighter red than the coats of the guild. His round body was topped by a bald head and a powerful moustache, his grin as wide as his ears.
"Thomas!"
he exclaimed, reaching his left arm out to embrace the boy. His right arm, however, stopped to his knees, a pneumatic prosthetic powered by steam and magic, that seemed designed for function more than form, its size clearly not meant to mimic human anatomy. Thomas's face lights up at the sight of the man, recognition satisfying his security that he was in some way related to the ferryman, darting over to accept the embrace. As the figure begins to wave the rest of the group over, however, a voice breaks out from the railroad, causing him to quickly draw his augmented limb over the lad, and with a flash, the two fade from sight, the last image showing the man's finger pressed to his lips towards the rest of the fated. And we shall begin.
Gents.
Oh, what was in that whiskey? Oh! Oh! Oh!
I'm just gonna sweep the whiskey down myself. Oh, tastes fine to me.
It's like pure ethanol. Oh!
it's strong, but it's the medium stuff. I didn't want to give you the good stuff. You wouldn't appreciate it.
No. Oh. I mean, it's definitely doing the job. I feel really, you know, woo! We lived! Oh, I tell you, I did live.
Yes. Anyone see what happened to Thomas?
Oh, he was... What? He was Thomas. What?
Where's the boy?
Oh, he was just... That man appeared. He just disappeared. Some sort of limb.
A man? I think I'm going blind from this.
Hope you don't mind my interrupting, fellas.
The blaze of the breach lighting her up. Red duster clearly signifying the guild.
I'd heard a distress call from the other side. That the ram got busted up by some sort of monster. You four must have had quite the ordeal.
She points to the ground by your feet, and a circle of flame erupts from the dry cracks around you.
Ooh. Oh, well.
I wouldn't go moving if I were you. Not till we've got a few things straightened out. Name's Shelley Brooks. Witch hunter.
Oh, I'm Owen Gunn. Blacksmith.
I'm not doing anything wrong. There was some fire there, woo!
This is Julius. He's, I think, a professional nervous wreck.
I am, Julius, hey! Don't kill us!
Sapper puts a hand on Julius's shoulder.
I'm Sapper. Sapper Carlson. Gardener by profession.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you, Sapper. You're such a stable person for me.
So, as she saunters closer, you get more and more of a picture of her as she steps towards the light of the flames. Just like long chocolate hair that covers over one eye. Clearly intentional as a top of hat secures her hairline. Her unpointed hand rests on the pommel of a greatsword, which glows a warming orange. Her sides are quickly flanked, each by a squatting figure. Humanoid for certain, but their stature appears off. Each shuffling movement is made with the sound of dry leather creaking, as if they were wearing some sort of full-body, skin-tight armour beneath the raggedy cloth wrappings, hiding all details beneath. Julius, can you please take a history check for me? In fact, everyone can make a history check, but that'll give Julius advantage, based on what he knows.
So I got an 11 and a 2 on top of 4, so it's 15 altogether.
So I've got 13.
Julius and Owen, you both recognise that these things are known as Witchling Stalkers. They're effectively bloodhounds of magic employed by...
the Guild!
I would say Julius with specifically a 15. You also remember that your brother had spoken about them in great detail about from his visits to Malifaux. The Stalkers were rogue mages captured by the Guild that effectively serve their sentence as shriveled husk. Their own magic is used to bind them by the top of the Witch Hunters task force herself, Sonya Creed.
Oh, and I mean, from the propaganda purposes though, what did I learn? Like they were, did I happen to learn like they were just good guys who just choose to serve the Guild?
Well, the propaganda purposes would say that they are the forces of darkness turned to light, good. Effectively. Okay. They are widely known as criminals that have been converted under the Guild's control.
Do I know this woman who's talking to us right now?
No, you do recognise that she is clearly by description a witch hunter, who are the member that Sonya Creed leads.
So I would know that she's part of the Guild, but that's it?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
That's a good way to start.
Look, madam, we don't be wanting no Guild problems.
Owain!
Just
survive
by this.
Owain, it's okay. It's the Guild, the sound, the lovely people. Oh, hello. Sorry, I was a bit afraid, but now
Sapper,
I realise you're part of the Guild.
Shut him up.
That you're really good people. And we'd love to be of service to you in anything you need.
Sapper,
and,
shut him up before he says something that gets us in trouble. Sapper.
We definitely haven't done any magic. And we have never been involved in anything like that.
Owain's
going to
turn around and punch Julius in the face.
Cool. Make any form of attack you like.
Oh boy.
That's just going to be pugilism, basically open-handed punch. So that's actually a minus one, so that's only an 11. If I was trying to do damage, I would have done damage.
Are you trying to do damage?
I'm not trying to do damage. I'm basically trying to just shut him up.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So slamming him in the mouth. Julius, are you attempting to duck out of the way of this, or do you feel like you're too wrapped up in what you are yammering on about?
I think that whiskey has affected his reflexes.
Fantastic. Okay. Yep. A hand is slapped over your mouth, and Shelley kind of chuckles to herself as if she's clearly identified who's the weak one out of the group.
Oh, ow! Why would you do that away?
I reckon that y'all had quite the trouble getting here, but...
Didn't say that again.
That train is not the kind of missed schedule, and I believe that we're going to see some ramifications of that. I'm going to need to play hardball here.
By all means, play as hard as you like. Oh, we haven't done anything wrong. We've only just escaped with our lives.
We are good guild-serving citizens.
Shut up, Julius.
Okay, don't need to hit me again.
Tell you what. If you put all of your objects you would recognize as a weapon or magically inclined into this here sack, then Tweedledum and Tweedledee here won't have any problems with you. How's that sound?
And she throws a Hessian sack into the ring of fire.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you for protecting us.
I mean, I'm just going to hold up my hands and say, I've got no chance of putting these in the sack.
No, but I do see that gun on your holster.
That's true, but I think you'll find that I am allowed to carry one. In fact, I recommended to carry one as a member of the ECB. I'm going to pull out the badge I've got.
Do you want to pull a bureaucracy or leadership on that?
Yes, I do. Is it going to work? No, it's not. Leadership 1. I'm also very intoxicated. However, that's a 14.
Yeah, it is.
I'm swaying slightly, holding this badge.
She mutters to herself as just bloody divisions. And the rest of you?
Oh, yeah.
Are you members of the ECB as well?
Sapa here is my handyman, and Julius is, well, he's just a lowly survivor of the wreckage, you see.
I just follow these guys.
He's
know?
Clearly gone mad.
I lost my wife.
Horrors he saw.
It was awful.
He ain't some sort of spellcaster, is he?
Oh, no, I do have a weapon, though.
What?
So I have this, like, and I'll just whip out the garrote, you know, the little wire, and throw it and say, I had a bad time getting here, and I just want to protect myself, but I would never do anything to the guild. It's just,
I'm
going to
spin
round
on Sapper, but overspin and miss him, and then spin back and say, I thought I told you to frisk him for weapons. I do a very obvious wink, even behind the head. It's like, yeah, you can see the back of my head, it's clearly tilting.
My apologies, Mr. Gunn. It will not happen again.
I don't think he can do any magic. I mean, look at him. I thought magic required a certain amount of willpower.
Oh, I'm no arcanist. No.
This
I would
man
never
has
cast
no
anything count like that. No.
No sort no. of willpower, self-control.
Well, lucky for you, I don't need to ask or just look at him. I have these two.
And with a switch into fury, she kicks one of the two stalkers in the back. It stumbles forward. You can hear this like cracking of leather as it hits the ground. And it slowly brings itself back up in this twitching state and starts making its way through the fire. It seems completely immune to whatever the flames are doing and steps into the ring. And it starts sniffing around the air.
Sapa, they're like witchling stalkers. They're really cool.
I'm going to just pull out another drink of mine, have a swig, and then
Sapa.
Burp, thus sort of spewing a load of the alcohol on the floor.
Sapa.
What?
They used to be really bad mages. Really bad people. And then what happened was the guild like took them in and then made them good. Yeah. Oh.
hell's happening?
Okay.
They're really cool. They can detect the magic caster anywhere. I mean, lucky we're not magic casters, eh?
Listen, we're going to have to play ball for the foreseeable, so why don't you keep that mouth of yours shut?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean, I'm not a spellcaster, don't worry.
And you hear this wheezing that's going in and out of this husk as it shuffles around the edge of the flames. And all of you can notice it is dead-eyeing Julius.
Oh, they really like me. Oh, this whiskey's going to me. Whew.
It seems you may not have frisked him well enough.
What do you mean? What's wrong with him?
Well, Tweedledum over there is sensing he has not just magic, but a grimoire. A grimoire, a magical skill book? I would have expected a member of the ECB to know what that is.
I mean, yes, of course I know what it is, but I thought I would have... I'm just going to turn around and say, Sapa! Why?
I think he might be, in fact, holding my grimoire. I ran out of carrying space and put it in his backpack for him to carry for me.
Yes. Very good lady, miss, of the guild.
That's
I have a really good explanation. When we went through the portal, we saw these, like, cultists. And
Julius,
a lot of them, like,
Julius.
Exploded. And a lot
I
of
think
this
she's
stuff
had
on
the explanation she needs from Sapa.
Okay, yes, sorry. Yeah.
Why don't you hand it back over to him? As
my grimoire.
Servant of the ECB.
No, my grimoire.
Oh, sorry, yes. It was crazy, that massive, like, dinosaur, maybe? I don't know what it is.
Right. Maybe we should put this all in an official report for the lady.
Yes.
And not just go spouting out nonsense.
I have not recovered, obviously, over the death of my wife. It's okay. I just need a bit more whiskey, actually, but I'll be okay.
Here, I'm just going to stick a flask in his mouth and upend it.
Okay.
Good plan. The whiskey that you spilled on the floor has also caught fire and has kind of cut into the circle that you're all standing in. Not in a hazardous way, it's just, you know, moved in a bit.
Just on fire. Everything's on fire.
Everything's
this
on
is
fire
fine.
Around you. Everything is fine.
I'm just going to open my pockets to Sapper and let him take whatever he wants.
Oh, let's we'll see what items of mine that you are carrying for me. Sapro just kind of empty his pockets.
As the pockets are emptied, Julius, your coin obviously tings to the floor, which I imagine is what you're going to care about most. Did you have anything else on you? I believe one of you picked up a ring at some point, didn't you?
I have medicinal items as well, so I have like a few medical kits hidden in my pockets.
Yes, you do. Some medical kits, the coin, anything else at all?
I don't have that ring. I don't know who has that ring, actually.
Did it have a name?
The ring was... It was just a signet ring was all that someone was able to glean from it.
No, I don't have it. Or do I have it? Did I put it on? I think I've got it.
Sure.
So, does the coin fall to the floor?
The coin tings to the floor.
My last script... let me just pick that up. I'm a poor man, you know, I've lost everything. I was born to a rich family and I've lost everything.
The stalker hisses at the coin and Shirley tightens her grip on the greatsword.
I'm going to quickly pick her up if I can. In a whiskey induced grapple.
My hand is going to move towards my gun. With my eyes fixed firmly on the stalker that is in the circle with us.
I'm gonna say flip for initiative.
Oh boy.
I thought my convincing was A star. Just saying.
That is That is 7.
7?
Also, just say how many of these situations would be so easy to navigate.
Would if Julius was not present?
If Julius was not present, I love it. It's like if Julius was quiet for just a minute, things would be wonderful.
It's a whiskey, you know.
It's not though, is it? It's not though. It's all the time.
It's brought out the sad side of me.
6 for Sapper.
7. Oh, 6.
So, minus 2. 6, yeah. So the stalker that is there is reaching down for the coin anyway and flicks up its little blade that it's reaching forward with to slap at Julius's hand. So Julius, can you please make a defense flip, please?
Okay.
Please.
Did we, just to make sure as well, you said we healed at the start of this session, did we?
No, I would give you an opportunity to heal should you have avoided this situation.
Oh, just making sure, you know?
Yes.
13.
Yeah, 13. Yeah, no problem. So you do actually see this blade sneaking up for you and you manage to quickly grab your coin and pull away. As it brings its quick blade up, I'd say at the start of this, it's not noticing that this is a full-on attack situation. He was just more going for the coin, so he's only going to act as slow for this round.
Owain is going to pull out his pistol and he's going to say, "Now look here, you step back now. Don't want any funny business." Sort of hoping that the bluff pays off. Points the gun sort of in between the two, the stalker and Julius.
Do you want to give me a convince duel?
Convince, that is an 11.
They both feel as though you could have been pointing the gun at Julius and that this was more of an honest mistake. Shelley does have her grip firm on the greatsword and it had started to be pulled out, but she does hold up her hand and whistles out for Tweedledum to not advance to an attack.
Yeah, it's just a coin. I was just, picking up a coin. That's all. I'm sorry, gods.
Step back, please, Mr. Julius. Let me deal with this. I'm just going to reach forward, keeping my eyes on the stalker, and try and pick up the coin.
Okay, so Julius did manage to grab the coin, so he can take it out of his hand.
She's going to take it out of his hand.
His physical distinction and slap from before and the whiskey-induced feeling I feel right now, I'm not resistant.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the coin is taken from you. As it does, you feel a slight disconnection again from your magic, but the stalker, its eyes seem to trace the sky as the coin is passed over.
So I feel like a funny fuzz is just released. As in Julius's mind, this is not magic. This is just random stuff. He's still in denial.
So, Sapper, can you make me any kind of magical skill duel you like? Anything from magic that you have so far? This is more knowledge base rather than your own magic.
Hold on, man. Sorcery, intellect.
Perfectly
good.
Fine. Yeah. Intellect's probably good for that.
Plus 5 to that. That'll be 15.
15? Lovely. That's very good. You remember that you have 2 grimoires on your person as well, but for some reason they don't seem to be clocking on that you do. And you figure it may be because none of you have used any of the magic from these yet. In which case, it might be that they are going unnoticed. Feel as though you might be able to get away with keeping them. But Julius's coin, it seems to be a large amount of focus being drawn on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Owain, you have the coin.
I'm going to put it in my pocket. Try and not to be, overly subtle about it. I'm just trying to be very nonchalant about it.
I feel as though Shelley wouldn't like that.
Well, you see, I'm unimportant, so I get a positive twist to any duel made to avoid being noticed in a group. So I can make a stealth challenge.
You can, however, the Witchling Stalker has its eyes directly on it.
What's your point?
So I would say that that would naturally incur some kind of negative anyway, so I feel as though this would be a double negative, so a single negative in total, because its eyes literally aren't leaving the coin as it goes.
Okay.
I turn to Sapper and go, Sapper, I think Owain is a magic dealer.
There is a town and a place.
And
this is Nilo.
Okay, sorry, Sapper.
Why is Julius turning into Gollum?
The whiskey is seriously affecting him. This is like pure ethanol.
So I get minus two to stealth.
Oh god.
So that's actually a minus one.
As you're sneaking this back into your pocket, all of you are focused on this situation with the coin and the stalker. That from you only see from the peripherals, the flames in front of you in the circle part like the Red Sea, and Shelley walks directly through the path that is made for her. She grabs the coin from your hand. She says, I do not care whether you are ECB or not, I am a witch hunter, and these grimoires are ours. And she rips it from your grip.
Oh, well, doesn't it come under my jurisdiction? He is technically, now I know him to be a magic user, in my custody. Yeah, that's evidence.
So she flips the coin and catches it and says, maybe some of the evidence got lost. Who knows?
Well, without that, I have no evidence.
You got the guy himself. You can come up with a story, I'm sure.
Excuse me, lady, this is a bit mean. I'm just a humble prisoner, and these guys have taken me in. I think, yeah. I got knocked in the head a few times on the way. But let's just, you know, he needs the evidence to prosecute me with. And if you're taking that evidence away, isn't that diverting the course of justice?
I think it's perverting the course of justice.
Oh, yeah. Perverting the... thank you, sir. Thank you, sorry. The perverting the course of justice? You know?
The ECB may have jurisdiction on Earth, but I think you'll find it has less weight here.
I mean, in my defense, we would still be on Earth if it wasn't for that thing.
Speaking of that thing, I have a feeling that the boys at the station are going to want to have a little chat with you about that. So if you wouldn't mind coming with me, you're heading down this way anyway to get into town. We're going to stop off at the station so someone can have a few words with you. You know, if that's okay with your kind selves.
Can I put my hand up and say, is this like the guild headquarters? Woohoo! We're going to the guild headquarters! Yeah!
She seems to be ignoring you as much as possible because she's discounted you as a person.
Wise Woo! Decision.
They think very I'm a spellcaster! Watch out!
So if you're willing to go with her, then she will take you to Malfoy Station directly. It's only about 2 miles down the road anyway.
Course.
Wayne, I feel we have little choice in this matter.
I mean, as soon as we can get to the proper authorities and get this sorted out, the better. And I'm going to just say, right, make sure you gag him.
Yeah, Sapper will find something to gag him with. I'll rip one of the nice new coats that we found.
We're going to the...
Yeah, speaking of those coats, yeah, probably worth, if you wanted to take them off at this point. The air around here is really muggy. It's quite late afternoon, but it's almost like sticky on your skin.
Yeah. Okay.
She brings you up towards Malfoy Station. The sights of the station pass relatively unceremoniously. Marbled exteriors mask the internal bricks that keep the structure uniform, while stained glass windows attempt to employ a Gothic design. The icon of a great ram skull takes shape over every doorway, signifying the guild's power over the only entrance and exit to Malfoy. Sappy, you clock the guards at each major section. The platforms are filled with pedestrians hoping to make it back to Earth, a few men shouting into the faces of the guardsmen who simply leer back at them in return. Shelley brings the three of you through to the back offices, booting a door open that had jammed when the key had failed to turn completely. Ahead were two doors marked break room and holding. Instinctively, the three of you wander towards the holding room, but Shelley places a hand on Sapper's shoulder.
Not you, big fella,
she jeers, a flash of teeth bearing the smile of a jackal.
You're in this one, and don't for a second think you can have at my snacks. Find a chair, set your keister, and wait for the inspector.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me, any reason you want to talk to my associate?
Well, I just find it's better when everyone's stories line up, don't you think?
No, maybe.
Yeah, so she's gonna urge you into the holding room. The two are adjacent but separated by a wall.
Okay, I'll take a seat.
Wonderful. We will start with Julius and Owain. The heat of the day is trapped in the four walls of the holding room, keeping the room a nauseating, thick scent of sweat that pours from your own bodies. You struggle to believe that this would be by design, but the effect was still going to benefit the interrogator. The door opens and a man walks in. Stubble mars the sharp angles of his face, a mop of blonde curls decorating his thin features. If it weren't for the yellowed eyes and teeth against clammy skin, he might have been considered handsome. He raises the last of his cigar to his lips for a long inhalation before slumping into the chair opposite with a billow of smoke that scatters to the low ceiling.
Patrick Booth, how at?
I, Owain Gunn, ECB officer.
ECB officer. Oh boy, this one's looking a little worse for wear.
In my custody, turns out he's an illicit magic user.
What's his name?
Julius Ignorus.
Julius Ignorus. Right. Just noting it down on a little pad that he's got with him. Now, do you mind telling me your side of events? I'll be popping into the other fella in just a sec to make sure we all iron up all right.
We were planning on coming over for a routine visit when something happened with the breach. Some sort of creature, I don't know what it was, came out and just attacked everything. We were on the ram when it struck the ram. I don't know quite what happened. We were flung through the air and found ourselves
here.
At which point we met your associate and learned that this fella, who we took to be an innocent survivor, much like myself and my associate Sapper. And yes, he seems to have a problem with his mouth, namely he won't keep it closed.
I can see a couple of missing teeth in there as well. Was that your doing, or was that the crash of the ram, so you say?
I wouldn't like to be accused of police brutality.
Very wise words, I like that.
Obviously. But yes, it's entirely my doing. He deserved it. 100%.
Well, I can understand that. I'm feeling a want to do it myself, to be honest.
I fully understand.
Now, you said you were an ECB officer.
I've got my badge here. I'm going to just wave it gently in the air.
Which department?
I was in enforcement.
Enforcement.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I got told the name of someone and told to go deal with them. Bring them in, or more likely, don't.
I see. Who was your target?
My target was a disreputable fellow called James.
Oh,
so funny about that.
I'm losing
James
this one.
Was Nate's favourite D&D character. Who was a douche to us all.
Was he though? Was he?
You got Matt killed.
I didn't get Matt killed. Matt committed suicide.
You caused his death.
Oh. Yes, arguably I did.
Okay, well, alright. Alright, well, put all your personal belongings in this ear tub, please. And he scoots over. It's just routine check. We're going to be keeping you for a couple of hours anyway, just while we clear everything up. But with the ram being under the situation that it is, we're facing unprecedented times. Got to be extra careful, you know? There were convicts on board the ram that were known for deadly arts of persuasion and deception, and we got to take every precaution we can. So, you know, if you don't mind, it's standard procedure, I'm sure you're aware.
Oh, yes,
can I try and, like,
course,
a hint to Owain? Has Owain got the coin right now?
No, Shelly took it. Shelly has it.
So I still think he has the coin somehow. So I'm just going to wink at Owain, like, let's do some plan.
Does the guy notice the wink? Can I do a notice to see if he notices?
I mean, I'll give it you. He notices, because Julius is drunk and thinking that he is trying to do it sneakily, but he is looking you right in the face, making sure your eyes are looking at his, and winking.
I am going to slap Julius in an attempt to be like, scum, don't look at me.
Ah! Ah, oh yeah.
Yeah, mind if I get in on that?
Be my guest.
He reaches over the table, grabs Julius by the collar, and brings an uppercut into your gut. He is less careful than Owain has been, so can you please flip for damage?
Is this going to be like that scene from Airplane where there's just like a queue of people?
I mean, literally everyone who's met Julius is outside waiting.
As well they should be.
With increasingly sharp objects.
Yes, too right, too right.
Who flips for the attack? Danny.
The attack has happened, it has landed. In this situation, so if you can just flip for damage, it'll be a single negative.
Oh.
You're lucky. You could have been dead.
Weak and severe. so yeah, just the one damage for you.
Okay.
The shockwave of the punch has opened up one of the blood vessels in your teeth again, and you can start tasting blood again on your lip. It seems almost never ending.
I want the girl as
soon. Yeah, he does pull out a little drawer for you, Owain, to put all of your personal belongings in.
Of course.
Don't worry, I'll bring it all back once we've finished.
You don't mind if I keep my ring, do you? It's sentimental. Family. You know.
Family ring?
He looks down at the ring. Can you do a notice check, please?
Yes, I can. Don't know if it was a good idea to draw attention to that. I'm a cheat out of 13.
Woo! Hot damn. You see his eyes widen. You've mentioned being a member of the ECB, you know, even in the enforcement department, which is a real thing. You're very lucky. But
I mean, I had a guy come round to me with a gun and try and drag me away. And then try to just kill me. So I assumed enforcement.
He was even just there for investigation, to be honest with you. He wasn't. That was all protection, but they're just well-trained people, to be honest. Even with you suggesting that you were a member of the ECB within the enforcement, he seems more disturbed by this ring. He mutters to himself as like, yeah, of course, sir. And takes the box of belongings out with him. So the things that you did place in, what was that? Yeah. That was the...
I've placed in the gun, the knuckle dusters,
mm-hmm.
which are magical.
Yep.
And 5 bottles of alcohol, except for one which I've gone... Oops, sorry. Accident. I'll just hold on to that one if you don't mind. I'm going to just pull back for myself.
Yeah, to be honest, it's quite a relaxed thing on alcohol and cigars and things. They don't really mind about that, so we'll let that slide. He takes that. Oh, are you putting the badge in as well?
No, I'm holding on to my badge.
Okay. He'll let that slide, considering.
I'm just going to unstop the bottle and have another sip.
Mm-hmm. So he quite quickly makes his leave. Sapper, while this is going on, can you make a notice check, please?
Okay. So again, plus one.
You're on 6 total, aren't you?
Yep.
Wonderful. You don't hear too much, but you hear muffled cries of outrage through the closed window of this room. The platform folk outside that were screaming at the guards, you can just about make out that they're screaming that they had already paid for their tickets to go home. A guard must have broken their silence and shouted back rudely enough for a small scrap to break out. But it stops pretty quickly after you hear a body slam against the wall.
Okay.
So the break room is stocked with a manner of dry goods from the world over. Many of the more exotic ones being kept in a small box labelled confiscation. A coffee pot lays on the counter and a copy of the Malifaux Tatler lays across the only table in the room. Its cover story speaking of the guild's triumph in taking down a notorious necromancer. The image depicting one of the guild's figureheads, a swordswoman with bright red hair known across both worlds as Lady Justice, holding aloft the villain's iconic vulture-esque pneumatic leg in front of a cheering crowd. As you peer over the pages, the creak of the door opening leads you to jump to attention, but the inspector seems more interested in smoothing back his curls. His eyes flick out at you before pulling up the chair across.
Well, our lads are doing just fine. I've heard just about everything I need here. As long as you can corroborate, of course.
Oh, of course. I think you'll find our stories will be extremely similar.
Well, let's just all be the same.
Oh, indeed.
Please, do begin retelling your side of the events.
Are we talking the events that led up to the train incident?
Yes, as to my direction in this is that Ram's not arrived, and I would like to know why.
Well, yes. You see, I was working for my good friend Elaine, and we were waiting for the train, and this creature, it was as if it was from hell, came and attacked the train. Me and Owain did our very best to stop the what looked like cultists who were summoning the beast. Indeed, we killed a handful and then boarded the train. And I managed to escape before the huge beast destroyed everything.
And how long have you known Mr. Gunn?
Maybe a few weeks. You see, I used to be somewhat of a gardener, but I left that profession. Mr. Gunn took me under his wing. He needed some strong and silent type to stand behind him on occasions.
That's understandable. And what is Mr. Gunn's profession?
I have reason to believe that he hunts down illicit magic users for the guild.
Illicit magic. I'll explain that boy into the room.
Oh, yes. That boy does have a mouth on him.
Right. Well, I've heard everything I need to know.
We'll get you propped up for tonight. Must have been quite an ordeal getting yourselves through the breach and all. Or have you got somewhere else you need to be?
I would appreciate a good night's rest. I've taken quite a beating over the past day or so.
I'll bring your mates right through. I know Mr. Hawthorne's legal team and, well, I ain't about to get mixed up in that.
I appreciate
it. The one thing I ask... Don't go mentioning nowt about Ram or that monster. Anyone asks, Ram is down for maintenance. You don't know nowt more than that, you hear?
Oh, yes. Regular maintenance. You can trust me to keep my mouth shut, sir.
Don't want no civil panic now, do we?
Oh, no. We do not want any panic.
Very well. He opens the door and lets you walk out, and little K8 is waddling, waiting for you between the rooms.
Okay, follow me.
And it does its little... and toddles on after you. He pushes open the door to the holding room and says, "Boys, come on out. You can... Have yourselves a bed. Unless you think that Julius there would be better sleeping in this room, where he's nice and safe. We can lock the door from the outside."
"Have you not got like a cell to put him in? I don't trust him free." "Quiet scum." Just gonna kick him.
"I'm sure that can be arranged." He takes the two of you out, and he locks the door for now on Julius, and brings Owain and Sapper out towards the station. Has a couple of overnight rooms for the guard shift posts, but it seems that they are treating you extra nice, and giving you their rooms. Some of the guards are actually going to sleep in the hall that night.
This is cozy.
That's all we've got time for today. Join us next time for part 2 of Welcome to Malifaux, in which the group take flight from the guild station, and in an awful hurry too. Until next time, stay safe, listeners. No, please, stay safe.